The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about some stories of grace. Yesterday, I told you the story of a woman who had suffered sexual abuse and a number of other things, and the same triumphant ending to her story. Today, it's a story of losses. Anyone out there who has lost something lately? Maybe your job or your health? Well, this lady tells of the loss of health, of their business, and of her daughter's love. She says, "Yes, it is true. I am going through deep waters and hot fire. It is amazing how one can go through such as these and still feel such joy. It is through all the adversity that I have come to know my Lord and Savior. Through it, I keep turning back and turning back to the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. My husband agrees with me. To make a short story long," and she draws a little smiley face in the margin, "he worked for the Coast Guard in D.C. He tired of the traffic and pressure. We moved to another state. He opened a frozen yogurt shop, but that town was not ready for a frozen yogurt shop, and we lost everything. It was a blow, but we learned to trust Jesus in those trying times as we never would have otherwise. He now says it is the best thing that ever happened to us. Now that it is over, I agree with him." And there's another little drawing of a smiley face. "He then got a job with the city in the parks and recreation. He cut grass, pulled weeds, and cleaned toilets. It was most humbling. But God was at work within both of us. They fired him due to his age. He now does substitute teaching at the high school. That helps supplement our social security. My husband and I truly have a happy and peaceful home. We've been married 46 years, and we're both virgins, and we both knew we were meant for each other. It has not always been easy. We've had our moments and days, but by God's grace, we got through them. And that was when we did not understand grace at all. My husband is such a blessing. He spends at least 2 hours a day in therapy with me to keep me going. We keep our sense of humor, which is another gift from God, and we can laugh at ourselves." Now, I had another letter from this lady earlier telling me about her own physical handicap, and here she mentions it, but doesn't specify just what it is. But I was so impressed with the fact that in the midst of these sore trials, the loss of health, the loss of business, the loss of a daughter's love, she maintains joy and humor and thanksgiving and even forgiveness. Grace goes to work on our nature. Isn't that a comforting thought? Who I am, all my peculiarities and weaknesses and temperament and my genes and everything else on which I might blame my behavior, God understands. And God can suit the measure of grace, which is precisely according to my need. His grace goes to work on my nature and on yours. All kinds of people suffer all kinds of things, and my mail reminds me of that daily. Christians are certainly not equipped with special armor to ward off the ordinary woes of life. I had a letter from a lady the other day asking me if Christians go through menopause. Well, I had to explain to her that, yes, they do. It's part of the reproductive system, and God ordained it for all of us. We're not exempt from the ordinary woes of life. But we are equipped with the armor of God, which can keep us from evil. Now, one form of evil is wrong response to what happens. The letters that I'm reading you this week, I've chosen because of their obviously right response to the things that happened in their lives. And I want to read to you from an old writer on this same subject. "What comforts me," he says, "is the thought that we are being shaped here below into stones for the heavenly temple, that to be made like him is the object of our earthly existence. He is the shaper and carpenter of the heavenly temple. He must work us into shape. Our part is to be still in his hands. Every vexation is a little chip. Also, we must not be in a hurry to go out of the quarry, for there is a certain place for each stone, and we must wait till the building is ready for that stone. It would put out the building if we were taken pell-mell." And Samuel Rutherford, that wonderful 17th century writer from Scotland, says, "Oh, thrice fools are we, who like newborn princes, weeping in the cradle, know not that there is a kingdom before them. Then let our Lord's sweet hand square us and hammer us and strike off the knots of pride, self-love, and world-worship and infidelity, that he may make us stones and pillars in his Father's house. When God afflicts thee, think he hews a rugged stone which must be shaped, or else aside is useless thrown. God is shaping you and me today to be stones fit for his holy temple. Are we willing to be chiseled and chipped and hammered and filed? It's our response that makes the great difference. It is our response to the treatment of God. Remember, he is in charge. He is all-powerful. He is all-wise. He is all-loving. And he will never allow anything to touch us which does not come through his own loving kindness. The Bible says he will not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. I read this letter, which indicates joy and humor and thanksgiving and forgiveness, but you know, she might have responded in exactly the opposite way. Dejection, bitterness, and resentment and hatred. Instead of joy, dejection. Instead of humor, bitterness. Instead of thanksgiving, resentment. And instead of forgiveness, hatred. What is the thing that seems to be God's chisel or God's file or God's hammer in your life today? There aren't nearly as many hammer blows as there are the chips of the chisel and the filing of his file. Do you wonder why he does this? Do you look up to him and say, "Lord, why me?" Thank the Lord that he is shaping you into a stone fit to go into his temple. If we're not patient about it, if we're not willing to be shaped, then the stone must be cast aside. It's not the events in our lives that change us. It is our response to those events. In Ephesians 2, verses 20 to 22, we read, "Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." God only knows exactly what it takes to fitly frame us together unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now, I don't understand all the reasons, but it looks to me pretty clear from the letter that I've read to you that God saw that what this particular couple needed was the loss of health, the loss of their business, the loss of a daughter's love. Why? In order that they might be fitly framed together, that they might be shaped into a stone for the heavenly temple. To be made like Jesus Christ is the object of our earthly existence. Living here on this planet where there is sin and death and destruction, we're subject to sin and death and destruction. But God is not finished with us here, is he? He is not even close to being finished with us. He's shaping us for that heavenly temple. And we have to be shaped here on earth. It is this earth, with its traffic jams and its stopped up plumbing and its irritating people that we have to live and work with, and its bad weather and its sufferings and its losses, that is the place where we are to be shaped into the image of Christ. And as the writer whose piece I read a minute ago says, we must not be in a hurry to go out of the quarry, for there's a certain place for each stone. Sometimes we feel as though we've just reached the end of our patience and our endurance. We never do. God knows exactly where the end is. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to endure, and he will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape. So turn your heart to him. Give thanks that he loves you, that he has not forgotten you, that he is working on you. Be joyful about the purpose for which he is shaping you. Forgive that person who needs to be forgiven for Jesus' sake. Let God's grace go to work on your nature.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.